A summary without biblical terminology today, man lives in a spiritual state much lower than God and lower than our original ancestors. Man was created to be united with God firmly in his heart, guiding him, teaching him, and leading him in a state of perpetual joy and happiness. Man enjoyed this for a time, but was tempted by an opposing spirit to become like God, deciding what was good and what was bad to make his own decisions, without the counsel, wisdom, guidance, and joy of God's direction. Thus, each man became independent of God's guidance, deciding what was good for himself and what was bad, in effect, each man acting as his own God. Obviously, we all know different people reach different conclusions. Man became captive to his lusts, pleasures, habits, anger, pride, and self-gratification with this self-centered behavior, often at the expense of others around him. Every man became radically different and unacceptable to God, unless an individual man sought God's help to be changed and acceptable to him. There is a full history of God's struggle with this newly selfish man, including giving him a set of rules to live by, called the law, delivered by Moses. But this did not result in a large-scale restoration of man back to unity with God. This restoration was left to God sending a perfect man to earth, born of woman, but conceived by God, the man named Jesus. Before coming to earth as a man, Jesus had previously created the heavens and the earth, having been the firstborn of God's creation, and in whom God then dwelled to rule the heavens and earth. Jesus stripped himself of his glory and kingship, coming to earth in order to teach the next step in man's restoration to God. The man Jesus meaning, a savior Christ meaning, with God's spirit, was killed by the religious people of his day, who failed to recognize the character of God and recoiled against God's condemnation of man's selfishness, pride, and rituals of religion without a change of heart. Jesus had many teachings about love and the necessity to kill the selfish spirit in each of us, so God's spirit could replace it, restoring us to unity with God, and then living a life of joy, peace, faith, goodness, kindness, patience, and love, while enjoying the guidance, counsel, wisdom, and happiness of God's direction. Jesus came so he could teach men and women how to get back into fellowship and happiness with their Creator. When man fell, there was a seed of God left in all men and women, called the light in men. Christ is this light, which is within our consciences. This light makes us feel bad when we lie or steal, and it quietly and anonymously pleads with us to depart from evil. This light, within all men, has been the source of wisdom throughout the ages. The good news that Jesus announced was that with total obedience to the light within them, every person could become free of sin and become united with God, having fellowship with him in heaven, but while still on earth. Every man and woman has their day of visitation where the Spirit of God reasons with them to alter their ways. If we heed the advice of the Spirit or light within us, we get more counsel. If we ignore the advice, God ignores us until we decide to seek his counsel and direction. Jesus had many teachings about how we must change to become acceptable to God, the most famous being his Sermon on the Mount. Click to read. Then he told us what we must do to find true happiness, peace, and joy, to make seeking God our highest priority in life, even higher than food and clothing, and that if we did, all our needs would be met. He then told us how to seek him, the one thing needed, the good part, that will never be taken away. To come to him, sit at his feet, and listen to him speak to us. This is called waiting on God. To wait on God is to persistently sit in humble silence, listen for his voice and words, watch for his revelations, hear his commands, and then obey him. Only those who heed and obey him receive the eternal promises of God. Without obedience to commands heard, there is no spiritual progress. But obedience leads to purity and the promise of union with God, entering another dimension of consciousness and awareness, the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said he came to earth to declare the good news about the kingdom of heaven, which does not come with visible signs, but is within and around a man, a different dimension in this same physical space. While waiting on God, the voice and light of the Lord will teach us what to stop or deny. The voice and light will show us the selfish defects in our heart, and if we regret the defects shown us, resolving to try to be different, called changing our ways or repentance, he will change us to be able to be different, showing us our defects and then removing them. As we continue to wait on his teachings on a daily basis, he will change us over time, one defect at a time, to become pure. As he purifies us, he draws closer to us, giving us the satisfaction of his encouragements, teachings, and understandings about the life of God, to which he wishes to restore us. By our faith in what we hear him teach us, by our belief that we are listening to Jesus, the Word and light within our heart, and by our obedience to what he commands us to do, God then removes even the desire to sin, one by one, from our heart by his grace. He promises control of our emotions and everlasting peace. Most people have never been told that sin, which is unacceptable to God, includes anger, sexual immorality, desire for more, all lies, cheating, envy, greed, partying, drunkenness, hatred, arguments, lack of restraint, ambition, pride, etc. Anything that is immoral, impure, or held in esteem equal to or greater than God. However, those sins don't disqualify you for God's wondrous, merciful power to destroy your sinful nature and replace it with a new heart, mind, and spirit that reflects God's own life. By waiting on God and obeying what he commands, he cleanses us, purifying our heart and soul. At the conclusion of this death-oft selfish spirit within a person, Jesus will unite with that person, creating an entirely new person who looks the same, but whose consciousness is in a higher dimension, living in the presence and glory of God, and with the maximum possible happiness for a human, serving God with love to his fellow human beings, an entirely new life than what we have known. From the word of the Lord within, the new life is as radically different as a man who has lived underground his whole life, suddenly coming above ground to see the sun, the sky, the plants, the animals, the wind, the stars. In 1690, early Quaker Stephen Crisp, who dwelled in the kingdom, testified that in one day under the government of Christ, in the kingdom, one has more joy, pleasure, and delight than 1,000 days outside it. This death of the selfish spirit is called the death of the cross, like Christ physically dying on the cross. But our cross is not a physical cross, rather it is the acts of self-denial and obedience to what the Lord commands us. Self-denial starts with a persistent and patient waiting on God daily, listening and watching for his commands instead of pursuing our old pleasures. Self-denial is then to obey any commands we receive from God, doing thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, not our will. This is the inward cross of self-denial, Luke 9:23, since our spirit and mind is selfish. By denying self and by his grace, the Spirit slowly kills our selfish spirit, mind, ways, words, and thoughts. By waiting on God, we receive the teachings of grace, the convictions of grace, and the removal of sin by grace, ending in our salvation by grace. So, if you wish to please your Creator, or to have the wisdom of his guidance, or to know your Creator, or to be sure of your maximum happiness forever, you will seek to listen and follow your Creator's guidance. To seek God as your highest priority requires a strong motivation, which only he can provide. And if you humbly promise God you will do your best to find his will for your life, he will respond with a wonderful revelation to you that motivates you to make that experience permanent. God will never take away our free will. Before the Lord removes the evils in our hearts, which he reveals to us, we must learn to hate and deplore our lusts, addictions, pride, and pleasures. We must hate them so much that we would never consider returning to patterns of selfishness or rebellion against the leadership of God. When we die, if we have not been purified here on earth, we will be purified in the next life. Purification by death of one's selfish spirit on the cross is not easy, but purification in the next life, called hell, is much more painful and difficult. And the final result after purification, while better than life on earth, is far less satisfying than if we are reconciled with God while on earth. The pain, time, and difficulty in hell is directly proportional to the degree of our self-gratification in this life. Those who do not use this life as the opportunity to find union with God while on earth will regret it forever. See, is there hope for all? For more on this purification process in the next life. This is the single purpose of life, to find and be united with God. Trust your Creator. God is love. He wants more than anything to change us, so we can be in his company to be loved by him and for us to love him. He is perfect, with great mercy and kindness, with arms open, waiting for those who choose to please him. But if we are selfish, not having learned to hate our anger, pride, lusts, and addictions, we are not fit to be in the presence of God. Reconciliation can only occur after we are purified. The so-called Christian churches today are clueless as to repentance, purity, union with God, an entrance into the kingdom of God. They rely on special worded prayers, getting wet, eating bread wafers, drinking wine or grape juice, all superstitious heathen ritual and ceremony, which you are supposed to accept as true without experiencing the fullness of union with God yourself. This deficit is hardly surprising when you consider that Christ's disciples and apostles, John, Peter, Paul, and Jude, wrote of false teachers and preachers in their time, and in the book of Revelation, John saw where the whole world was to go after the false prophets and the false church, which occurred shortly afterwards. Instead of teaching you to listen to the Lord yourself, the deficit sex ministers read the Bible to you and tell you to study the Bible to grow as a Christian. But the Lord wishes to teach you himself, not have you listen to words read from a book. When the Lord teaches you himself, and if you believe what you hear to be true and coming from him, then and only then you have a true faith in God, not faith in what someone told you or in what you read, but faith that is authored and gifted by God to you. When you hear the Lord speak to you, you will be thrilled. Your faith will grow exponentially. He is kind. He never upbraids. His words and visions are immediately understood. His gentle reminders of your condition are easily accepted as though from a kind friend or father. He never keeps records of wrongs. Despite our failures, if we regret them and resolve to do better next time, he is always ready to proceed with our improvement. He will tell you of his love for you. He will encourage you and compliment you for your successes. He is perfect. He is the one true teacher, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, giving us specific instructions as to what to deny and forsake, and how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Note, these writings only refer to the early Quakers. Many of today's Quaker sects don't require a belief in Christ or even God. There are many books written between 1650 and 1725 by the early Quakers in English, with no translation necessary, thereby eliminating many translation errors. Many of these writings are on this site, with George Fox's journal and doctrinal books most prominent. They all testify to thousands of men and women experiencing the attainment of purity and union with God and his kingdom. Unfortunately, by 1880, the Quakers had completely lost any substance of the true religion and today do not even require a belief in God. There is a brief history on George Fox and the early Quakers available. Click here. The early Quakers had three testimonies to the validity of their message of purity: love for one another and love for their enemies. Jesus said, "Just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. By this shall all know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." John 13, 34-35 Quakers were massively persecuted by Congregationalists, Episcopalians, Baptists, and Presbyterians. 13,000 Quakers were imprisoned, 200 sent to slavery, and 869 killed in prisons or by hostile crowds of Christians. Tens of thousands had their property seized for failure to pay tithes to the approved churches. Of his true followers, Jesus said, "No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also." John 15:20. Many signs and miracles accompanied their ministry and message. They went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord kept working with them and confirming the message by the attesting signs and miracles that closely accompanied it. Mark 16:20. The purpose of this cite it to show you the true hope of purity, union with God, and entrance into paradise, the kingdom of God while on earth and then forever. There are three keys to the attainment of this hope, all keys to the power of God working in you to change you: believing in the promise of purity, union, and entrance to paradise, the kingdom of God belief in the name of Jesus Christ, think on his name when waiting on God, to carry the cross of Christ by denial of self and resulting repentance, that he would grant unto us that being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, we might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Luke 1:74. God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Heb 11:16. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. PSA 16:11. Written by King David. See how to benefit from the changing power of God by waiting on the Lord. For more information on how to hear the voice of the Lord, become enlightened, attain peace, and be restored to fellowship and union with God in the kingdom of God.